Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hear anything? Did it make any kind of a noise?
Yeah!
Something was there.
It's Friday, and the morning shift is kicking off our all-day takeover at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw.
That's exactly what it is.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app as the guys talk Atlanta sports and get you ready for the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Wake up! We are live!
I was really nervous.
For Twin Peaks.
But you nailed
it. All.
I was really nervous, but you nailed it.
I'm still working on it because we talked about a change. Still working on it, but it's getting better. Like I said, we are live from Twin Peaks all day long.
You're like the Atlanta Falcons offense. You know what I mean? Sometimes changes are necessary.
Yeah.
But it's only about being better in the long run, bro. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, if we're not trying to improve, if you're staying still,
right.
There's something.
Things get stale.
Yeah.
Right?
And just like the Falcons, we've made changes to the wake up and other. You know, we're moving right along. It's Mike and I today. This is the morning shift. And like I said, we are live from Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw. We'll be here live all day today. Every show from 6A to 7P will be here. And then you can turn around tomorrow and go to the Twin Peaks in Buckhead and meet me and Dylan and Jersey Mike from 3 to 5. We'll be hanging out, doing a little watch party. It is the it's their Santa's helper attire for
Santa's
the
helper
girls.
Costume party this weekend. So you'll make sure you want to keep track of that, keep tabs on that whenever you can, man.
So the girls will have the Santa's helper's outfits, which if you've ever been to a Twin Peaks, they're in this little costume party, which I have been. It's impressive.
Let's remove the Michael Penix saga. Other than Michael Penix taking the field on Sunday, which you and I will both obviously be in the house for, what are you most excited for this weekend? Because this is
college football playoff, without a doubt.
Like, which one, though? Like, which game? You got big NFL games all weekend. You got obviously massive stakes on the line in the college football playoff. Which one do you think you're most looking forward to of all the things going on?
The next one. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but the next one up, because this is pretty much tonight and then tomorrow reminds me of New Year's Day back in the day, come early. Okay?
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. I like that.
You might get the Peach Bowl on New Year's Eve back in the day, and those weren't always, like, I'm talking like back in the day.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily like always the greatest matchup, but they were always good games.
Yeah.
And then you would roll into New Year's Day, and the Outback Bowl would kick off at 11. The Citrus Bowl would kick off at noon or 1. I think it was 1. And then the Fiesta Bowl would also kick off at like 1:30. And then you would have the Rose Bowl at 4:30, and then the Sugar Bowl that night. Light. And the Orange Bowl would also be locked in there as well. You know, sometimes they would go oppo each other.
I was talking to my dad yesterday, and he and I were together. I think it was my freshman year at Bama, if I'm not mistaken. I think I came home for Christmas. Let's see, how would that have worked? Maybe I came home after the bowl game is what it was. We played in the Cotton Bowl that year. But I remember like getting home the next day and watching the Fiesta Bowl with my dad, which was the Boise, Oklahoma Fiesta Bowl with Ian Johnson and the Statue of Liberty play and all that. Like, what a classic time. What a classic time that stretch was. of the BCS bowls. You know what I mean? Like where you had those New Year's that were just slobber knockers, and then you had the BCS national title game as well.
Yeah.
Like that was such a classic era, I think, when you think back on that. Now, that's not to contrast with what we have right now, the college football playoff. Obviously, massive implications. Georgia fans will be paying attention, as well just about everybody else. I mean, even the Alabama fans that I talk to and schools, fans of other schools are stoked to watch what happens this weekend. I don't think it's been watered down too much. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the transfer portal and everything else for the fan bases that are not part of this. But I think when you look at the games going on this weekend and you look at specifically the ones tonight, they're big, man, and they're good matchups. Even the Penn State SMU, I've been saying it all week, when you look at the quarterback matchup in that game, I think SMU is going to stand a fighting chance. They're going to do everything off schedule, and they're going to be, by the skin of their teeth, but I think they're going to give Penn State a good fight. That'll be at noon o'clock tomorrow. noon o'clock tomorrow, if you want to keep track of that. Now, next question for you is, do you have all your streaming services lined up? Because I think we're getting TNT tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, I've got HBO Max,
okay,
which has
same.
TNT. I've also got UVerse, which I'm subscribe. That's my cable subscriber. So I've got everything. Look, I'm good to go. I've got like I told you earlier, I'm gonna be at Twin Peaks tomorrow, so I'm gonna have to strategically leave around halftime.
Right.
Now the problem is I might have to leave around the 2-minute warning because Bucket is a blank show at times during Christmas.
You and I have both lived down there at times.
Yeah.
And I used to live by Perimeter Mall as well. And well, that one's even worse.
I lived near Lenox Mall, and I used to go to the Bucket Shop all the time, which is right there across the street from it. And then I lived over there by House.
To the Bucket Shop?
The Bucket Shop. It's okay. A bar. There's an office building, and it's actually, unfortunately, it's a double whammy for you, but it's only one for me. It's the Carolina Panthers bar on Sunday. But guess what it is on Saturday?
Auburn.
Bingo.
Oh,
and so,
Jesus.
So I would go in there every once in a while on a Saturday when I would be off work.
Why would such a place exist?
I don't know, but if they got some of the best wings you'll eat in Buckhead.
Man.
They used to have $2 Coors Originals, Tall Boys, the 16-ouncers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was phenomenal. I used to go there all the time back in the day. And before I converted to Twin Peaks, and they would I would get a little TV, but you would have to sneak in the back way because of the traffic's that bad. Buckhead's brutal, but like I said, I'll be down there tomorrow at Twin Peaks, in Buckhead from 3 to 5, and I'm gonna like maybe even have the iPad streaming, or the good thing is you Sirius Radio, you can hear some of the games, or you can pull the game up the TV feed on your phone. It can be down streaming through your radio, whatever.
Right.
I think we're gonna have the games on 92.9.
Yes, we
well.
Are. Yeah. Yep.
So, however you want to listen or view, but I'm going to try to get down there in between that Texas Clemson game, right? That's at 4, and then the SMU game.
It's gonna be a good one.
I'm going to have to be watching on the move at times.
Yeah. Obviously, like we talked about, college football playoff this weekend. Big NFL game tomorrow, as well. And then you get Michael Penix on Sunday. Last night, you got the Chargers facing off with the Denver Broncos. I thought pretty good matchup. Chargers score. Let's see. I think about 2.5 minutes left. The Chargers scored to go up by 10. A little underhanded, flick of the wrist by Justin Herbert. A little screen pass, a little check down, whatever you want to call it. And they get it in the end zone to go up by 10. Denver kicks a field goal, but never able to get it any closer than that. They also scored on the free kick.
I was literally about to say, how did you like the free kick?
I love it, man. We actually, when I was coaching high school ball, we utilized this rule in high school ball. You just never see it. And most people, I think that there's just such a shock factor. Right, most people don't realize that this is even a rule because you only see it, and I don't know when's the last time it was used. I'm sure they said it last night. But it feels like you only see it, like, personally on a game you're watching, like, once every 10 years. Like, it feels like to be able to actually see it in real time. Yeah, exactly.
Since 76.
Yeah, I know one has happened since then, but it's like once every 10 years is what it feels like. So, I obviously big win for the Chargers coming off what they looked like a week ago against the Buccaneers. Denver, obviously we've seen up close and personal, good team. But, man, what a huge win for the Chargers there in prime time to be able to kind of stick their foot in the ground and get going back the right direction.
Yeah, look, it's been a – I think I listened to the question. Yeah, I think it was – might have been NFL Live yesterday. They asked the question – which coach has done a better job, Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton this year? And I thought,
wow.
And I thought it was a really interesting question.
Yeah, it really
because
is.
Because as I go to think about it, you look at Sean Payton coming in with a rookie quarterback, not a ton of weapons, and getting everything he's getting out of Bo Nix, a guy that a lot of people in this city murdered for years because of what happened to him at Auburn. And, you know, he was played in college football so long. But then you look at Jim Harbaugh, and their defense has talent all over it, but they reconstructed their offense. I mean, they let go of Keenan Allen. They let go of Mike Williams.
Yeah, gone, Mike Williams, yeah.
Right? They had to clean house themselves.
I thought you were going to bring up the running back, Austin Ekeler.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
So they've had to – so these two coaches have gotten the most out of their teams, and they've done it. A lot of it been defense, and obviously last night it was kind of a higher scoring affair. But now these two teams are deadlocked at 9-6, and they're both in the hunt, but they're wild card because Kansas City's ran away with the division.
Both their percentages right now, according to NFL.com, the Chargers sit at 97% because obviously they own that tiebreaker. And then Denver right now sits at 85. So right now, if the season ended today, that's your 6th and 7th seed. Now, you know, the rest of the weekend still has to play. You know, the bubble teams are out there. I think let's see, who's the bubble teams in the AFC right now? I guess that
would be... Well, you've got Indy, Indy, Miami. So, really, those two teams are... They are entrenched, pretty much. I don't know how they come back, because here's the deal. The Chargers are at 6, at 9-6. They win the tiebreaker over Denver with a head-to-head. But then you got the Colts at 8, because we said Denver's at 7. They would win the tiebreaker over Miami and teams below them, but it looks like right now, if Denver wins one more game, they're in, obviously.
Yeah.
And so same with the Chargers, but they're both in very good spots because it's 6-8, 6-8, 6-8 between the Colts, Dolphins, and Bengals, and then the Jets have already been eliminated.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll be you know, kind of keeping our eyes on the Falcons situation. Be looking at the Dallas Cowboys against Tampa Bay game coming up this weekend. Obviously, that one is going to go a long way in determining if the Atlanta Falcons have a shot at it. But as we all know, and as we said last week when you were facing off with the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday night, Falcons have to take care of business. Like, it doesn't matter what else is happening outside of those doors. I'm going to take the football coach mindset and say, look, let's deal with us, man. Let's deal with us.
That's true, but you should be a fan of the Eagles this weekend.
Okay.
And the Vikings.
There you go.
Because those are two teams that the Falcons would...
Congratulations, Dylan. Yeah, congratulations. You'll be feeling good.
Yeah, you can wear your Eagles hoodie and with pride this week.
Hey, look, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about those Atlanta Falcons and their matchup this weekend with the New York Giants. Michael Penix, if you're listening, I got good news for you. That's coming up on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. No, he's got to be in the film room right now, Bo. Stick with the Sports Radio 910 The Game.
It's a little bit different. You're always going to get chips and things of that nature, particularly when you play against a guy like Burns and Thibodeau. But you know, like, it's a little bit different than it was back in the day. It was more up under passing game just in general. With guys being in the gun now, you know, that's kind of tilted a little bit on, you know, which one is more important, blind side or backside. But a lot of gun football, not as much three-step and old five-step, seven-step drop that we're used to because we're old, but not as much of that anymore. So, like, not as important, but definitely still a factor.
Yeah, it is. Don't even get me started right now. The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Mike and Bo out here live in Kennesaw at Twin Peaks, man, getting ready for this college football playoff going on. The Falcons this weekend. What a huge, huge showdown weekend in all of football, man. But you know, that was Raheem with Dukes and Bell answering the question about the blind side for a left-handed quarterback.
You know how we talk about this, a copycat league? The media is dead on with that, too. It's a copycat. Like, holy smokes. I have to interrupt myself, but
jeez.
James and these guys at Twin Peaks just brought us breakfast, and I don't want to –
look at that plate of bacon.
That bacon is screaming my name.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of caught me off guard, too. Guys, you can't do that while we're live on air. Jeez, look at that.
Thank you so much, guys. We're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, by the way.
Ding.
And we're probably going to let Jersey Mike do this segment. Because we're
dude,
gonna
I was
eat.
Just looking at it going.
No, Jersey, you cannot go over there first.
You can't get the plate first.
But anyways, it's copycat league, right?
Yeah.
Well, the media is the same way.
Right.
Because one person puts out a bad take.
Right.
And the people that don't know any better, repeat them.
They just run with it.
And
they're like,
become,
yeah, man. That's a good question.
So now Raheem's going to get asked 20 times. And if Caleb McGarry gives up like one sack in this game, it's going to be, well, are you regret now that you didn't switch? And it's going to be like, no. And you explained it yesterday phenomenally. And then I talked, you know, I was talking to Arch offline yesterday, and it was like, he goes, yeah, you know, it's a little bit different than it used to be. And it has. It's changed. It's not quite the same league that it used to be as far as the, you know, with the just the offenses they run.
Yeah.
And it's not like Caleb McGarry doesn't go against, I know it's different because it's a blind side, but he goes against the best edge rusher
right.
that every team has every freaking week.
Yeah. He does, and that's what I was alluding to. I teased a minute ago. I said, you know, if you're Michael Penix Jr., I got good news for you. That good news, for the second time this week, Brian Burns did not practice, right? So Brian Burns, Patrick Johnson, Bobby Okereke, and Aaron Stinney all in the DNP yesterday for the New York Giants. Their injury list for the New York Giants, the longest I've seen all season. You know, we track this, and it's not they're not all DNPs. Those are your four. I think there's one more, Greg Stroman, the cornerback, a DNP.
Is it longer than ours the week of the Denver game?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty long.
It's got to be. There's got to be at least 20. There's at least 20 on here. You got the DNPs. You got limited, Deontay Banks, Tommy DeVito, Cordell Flott. I think we're going to get Drew Locke. He was a full participant in practice yesterday after being limited on Wednesday, so I think you're going to get Drew Locke in that aspect. But, yeah, man, look, it's exciting this weekend. I think you match up in a lot of different ways very, very well with what the New York Giants are trying to do.
Oh, my gosh. I just looked at it.
Dude, it reads like a Costco receipt. I mean, it really does. Like, yeah. You get all the way down there, and you're like, whoo, boy, they are dealing with it up there. Obviously, the Falcons aren't really dealing with any of the same things. Kadarius Hodge, a number of guys didn't practice yesterday. Some of them and a lot of them had to do with rest. Right, it was like on the injury list for the Atlanta Falcons, DNP due to rest. It's a short week. You're going to have that. I think a lot of that has to do with heart rate monitors, GPS trackers, things like that. Are guys in the red? You know, do they need more rest? Is their body not recovering fast enough? But that's what you're dealing with. So I think the next thing is we can talk about protections, and you're right, it's changed over the years. We can talk about different things inside of this offense. Well. Look, Raheem Morris was asked yesterday about how this offense is going to change. Listen to what he had to say.
We're going to do what we do. You've seen a good part of our offense, a majority of part of it. You know, obviously, Michael's a little bit more mobile just because of the youth. He didn't show that necessarily in college, but the youth makes him a little bit more mobile, being able to move around a little bit more. The young man, he can execute everything that we want to do. I mean, obviously, he has a live arm. He can do all the things that we're going to ask him to do. He's got great accuracy, got great touch. And, you know, it looked very similar to what you know, and we just got to go out there and execute.
Well, he might not. He might downplay a little bit. I just saw him catch a throwback pass and house it. Now it was only like a 30-yard little kind of what I would call almost a quarterback screen the way they set it up.
Yeah, it was like a little throwback,
little
throwback to the quarterback,
yeah.
With the lineman out in front.
But
I think he hit top speed right there.
But he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not you know, I think Justin Herbert's probably better than him
right.
As far as athleticism.
You brought up Justin Herbert. I'm gonna go as my comp with like just athleticism wise with like Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think Herbert's more athletic than him. I saw Herbert do things at Oregon that I'm not necessarily sure that Penix could do anymore. I think he could have done it in his first year or two at Indiana
right.
because he was more of a running quarterback then.
I'm trying to think of where he fits in terms of all the rookies. Like as far as the rookies goes, Bo Nix is more athletic than him.
I think Bo Nix he can do this. I trust him to start the starting and stopping stuff,
right.
The quick cutting. I just don't know if Penix. I don't know where your mind is after two ACLs with that kind of stuff. One of the things though that we nobody's talked about is the quick release he had in college, and we saw it in OTAs and in the camp a little bit. I feel like he's the guy that gets the ball out quickly.
I almost forgot about that,
and I don't think anyone's talking about it.
It's a flick of the wrist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a flick of the wrist.
Well, and we've seen guys here that have flick of the wrist, but it's just he can process, and again, it was OTAs and stuff, but I felt like he did a good job of drop back, boom, ball is out.
Can I stop you right there, though?
Yeah.
That word you just used, process. I'm a little bit triggered by that. Right?
Well, you should be, but guess what?
Like that.
But here's the deal, though. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, because the word elite processing was thrown around so much this offseason, and it was elite for 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
But that is why when people want to claim injury physically, I'm like, I don't believe that. Because you go back to the interception across the middle against the Raiders in the first drive of the second half. Dude, he's got 3 guys open.
Yeah.
3 guys. And yeah. He locked in on Charlie Warner running.
It was like a check down, right?
No, it was like a crossing route.
Okay. All right.
Some kind of crossing route, whatever, you know, call it. Everybody calls it something different.
I want to go back to the sound from 2 days ago, because we didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday, but we just heard from Raheem talking to Dukes and Bell about how the offense might change. Well, 2 days ago, Zach Robinson was talking to the media, and he was asked if, hey, what kind of playbook are we dealing with here?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we felt great with Kirk as well. You know, it just obviously Mike's got some different skill sets that you can activate as well. But, you know, whatever he's done at Washington and what we've seen out on the practice field, how it fits within our offense, we'll definitely activate that this week.
Yeah, we'll definitely activate that this week. Does that mean he's going to run a bootleg in the first 3 plays?
I might
use one of those personal confetti guns and shoot it up in the air wherever I'm sitting in the media suite if we run a bootleg.
Glad I'm not sitting next to
you. Yeah, I might have one of those kazoos. You know, I might do one of those. One of the birthday party things that the kids have these days.
I think it would be fun to see. Maybe some play action from under center. You think he would do that in the first series?
I will be curious, and that's one of the things I want to talk to Dave Archer today. If you guys didn't hear me earlier, Dave Archer is going to sit with us from 8 to 9 o'clock today. He's going to talk about college football playoff. He's going to talk about Michael Penix. He's going to know better than anybody on a lot of this stuff. I'm curious how much under center they'll do, and or how much is Michael Penix comfortable with. Because I do feel like this offense, and I've explained this before, when you run wide zone concepts, a lot of times you have to run them from the pistol or from under. You want the running back to start even with the center's butt when you run wide zone concepts. If you put the if you put the running back offset to the backside, now all of a sudden he's having to outrun the backside of the defense. Now with Michael Penix in there at shotgun, maybe that helps you a little bit because you can boot off of it. You can do the zone read kind of stuff off of the wide zone if you want to. But from my perspective, the running back needs to start straight back from the center's butt. So Michael Penix, I think, we'll have to go under center at least a few times on Sunday. I'm curious to hear from Arch what he thinks about that.
And they showed the zone read concept at Washington. When he was there, he did not run it. It just wasn't it because of the type of Kalen DeBoer wanted to air it out. It was kind of an air raid-y type offense in some ways, but they had that zone read in there. He did it. I saw him do it against Texas in that bowl game, college football playoff semifinal. I just don't think you're going to do it a lot. It's just the threat of it, right?
Right. Right.
To kind of keep you honest.
Well, and the thing is, like I said the other day, and I was talking about this when Kirk was still playing, I don't care if he hands it off, just simply the threat that something might happen on the backside. And that's run it, boot out and throw it into the flat, wide receiver screen, whatever it may be, just the threat. Hesitates the backside's eyes just enough to open up that run lane front side. They're not able to go downhill and crash in on the hole.
And I want to say this. The people that the keyboard coaches and GMs and insiders out there that I've been seeing wanting to say, yeah, these people that think the playbook's going to open up with a rookie are just idiots. Well, the coaches are telling you that because there's so much more you can do with the type of athlete he is compared to Cousins.
Like Zach said, the skill set.
Yes.
The skill set.
But not to mention, if you didn't watch Monday night and think it was a dumbed-down playbook or a toned-down or they were doing stuff to protect the quarterback from throwing the football, that's on you, man. I can't help you.
Yeah.
It just shows who, you know, ignorance is bliss, I guess.
I am hoping, just like everybody else listening, that Zach Robinson's, the thickness of his playbook is not that just stand in the pocket and let that thing rip. Like, he's got to have more there. All right, we're going to find out on Sunday.
Right, I'm going to eat this breakfast.
Yeah, coming up on the other side, we're going to talk more college football playoff. Hey, I got a question for you. Other than Ashton Jeanty, who's the best player in these playoffs? We'll talk more about that coming up on the other side. You'll also get our picks. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
As if the weekend couldn't possibly be any bigger, Mike and Bo hanging out with you up at Twin Peaks Kennesaw. Let me go ahead and put this on your radar. We talked about it earlier. The Santa Helper costume party, man. I'm telling you, that's good. The faces light up when you walk in here and talk about the Santa's Helper costume party. Okay. Twin Peaks, obviously, your place to be all weekend, college football playoff, NFL, whatever else you want to see. If you don't have tickets to the game, come watch Michael Penix's debut. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're live in Kennesaw from 6A to 7P today.
Yeah, we're here.
And then we'll lead you into the games. But then, tomorrow, you can come to Buckhead, hang out with me and Dylan, Jersey Mike. And if we're not enough for you, the Santa Helpers outfits.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And the college football games.
Come see us.
Yeah, come to see that. And say hey to me on your way in or out, all right?
Oh, man.
Real quick, before we talk college football, I got to give a shout-out to one of our loyal listeners, Brandon Mincy.
Yeah.
Found the baby registry, and Amazon package shows up.
Hooked it up.
Stuff that Amy had gotten put on the registry from Amazon. And
wow.
He went above and beyond, so I can't thank him enough for that. Unbelievably nice. Amy was just blown away. So, Mincy, we appreciate you, brother. I know you're always listening.
Yeah, man.
Wherever you're at, either it's on the app or in your car, so we appreciate it. Just wanted to give him a shout-out.
Yeah, and also shout-out to our buddy Marine Tim, who just stopped by. He's starting his work day.
Yeah.
And he came by and he asked you how things were going with Lil Pork Chop.
Yeah, well, he actually named Baby Squid Ad.
I love that.
He gave the new nickname,
he says,
will be Pork Chop.
It's perfect, man.
And,
Pork Chop. The meat man and Pork Chop.
I kind of like it.
Yeah,
until she gets to the age where – you know, she's like, wait, are you calling me fat?
There's definitely been football players in the NFL nicknamed Pork Chop.
Yeah.
And you just hope that is not, you know.
Well, I hope she's on a nose tackle.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, exactly. It's not a physical comparison thing, right?
Yeah. Like, you know. But she's my little Pork Chop.
Yeah.
And I love Pork Chop.
She's
so.
My little Pork Chop.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we're all stoked for you. Shout out to Brandon. Always listening, dude. We always appreciate it. Mr. Yo, obviously, putting the videos out there. It's a fun day. It's a big weekend, man. And I got posed this question yesterday, Bo, and I'm going to throw it right back at you. I gave you the whole commercial break to think about it. Take Ashton Jeanty out of it. Who are you most excited to see in this college football playoff?
You know, I can't answer it. I really don't know. I have one.
If you want me to throw mine in first.
Yeah, go ahead.
The tailback from Tennessee, Dylan Sampson, he's the guy. He's the dude.
Okay.
I want to see what he's able to do against Ohio State's front, Ohio State's defense. I think this game, I think Tennessee-Ohio State comes down to Tennessee's defensive front and their ability to get home in the backfield and really shut down Ohio State's offense. But Lord knows, I've said the name Nico Iamaleava on here just because I think I can say
it. You just like saying it.
I just like saying it. But Dylan Sampson is the guy. Like, he is that team. He is, you know, rushing records and everything else at Tennessee. I think when you look at that game, and obviously I think that's where most people will be focused. If you're going to pick one of the four this weekend, I think that's the one. I think that everybody expects that to be a best game because of the teams, because of the pageantry, because of the seating, because of the location. But I can't wait to see what he's able to do this weekend.
I'll give you mine.
Okay.
And I was watching different games this year, and I stumbled upon USC Penn State, and it was a good game. If you remember, it was out in the Coliseum, and it ended up being a really good game. But there was one player in that game that really kind of stood out to me, and his name was Tyler Warren.
Oh, okay,
he's a tight end.
I love that guy
from Penn State.
I love that guy.
Do you want to know what his stat line was in that game?
Did he go for over 200?
He had 17 catches for 224 yards.
I think one of them was like a flea flicker,
and
right?
A touchdown.
Or something like, dude.
This guy had 1,000 yards receiving. And don't tell me, well, he's just a tight end, because if you don't remember, we've seen tight ends be the best players on championship teams before.
Yeah, I think that's worked. Lord knows Bama fans have seen it up close and personal.
Brock Bowers,
last couple years.
Brock Bowers, yeah. So
he is. I don't think he's not
different.
As dynamic in the open field as Brock Bowers.
No,
obviously,
they're
but
different.
I would say that he brings a level of physicality that Brock Bowers doesn't. I think he translates extremely well to the NFL for that position.
Catches everything.
For what tight end is in the NFL nowadays, I feel like he translates incredibly well.
And he's got about 200 yards on the ground, too.
Yeah.
They've given him handoffs. So I just think he is a phenomenal player, and I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. It's going to be look, I can't say this enough. I'm excited about that matchup. I don't know if it's going to be the best game of the weekend, because I think all the matchups will be good. I am so intrigued to see, just style-wise, what we get with SMU-Penn State. They're completely different styles of going about their game. You know, when it comes to Jennings, that quarterback from SMU, everything is off schedule, but they, like, survive that way. It reminds me, and Auburn fans will remember this, Cam Newton was, everything was off schedule in their national title run. Like, everything was off schedule. It was a comeback. It was a off schedule play. You know, they played a number of games where they were down in the second half, and Cam Newton was able to do it. And, you know, just, I mean, things that were incredible. That's what this kid reminds me of. It's like a poor man's version of that. He's not as physical. He's not as big, but man, he's gritty. And, you know, that grit in the fourth quarter for them is the reason they're in the college football playoff. Coming back to tie that game at the end against Clemson and be able to get it done. All right, man, we got to get to our picks really quick. All right, we got 2 minutes before we got to get to our mandatory picks. Reminder, picks are coming up right now because we have Arch today from 8 to 9 o'clock. The entire third hour of the show today, Dave Archer will sit in with us. He'll talk college ball playoff. He'll talk Michael Penix. Bo, I'm going to put you up first on the NFL pick. We're going to start off. It's mandatory Eagles at Commanders. Eagles, 3.5-point favorites. The over-under is 45.5, if that helps you.
Man, this game is so hard, but I'm going Eagles to cover. I think they're playing a different – now, this winning streak is the thing. When is it going to end? It could end this weekend. It would hurt the Falcons in some ways if it did. I've got to pull for the Eagles because I want the Commanders – I want that game to mean a lot. Plus, I want the Falcons to have any way – multiple ways to get in, which they don't right now. So, give me the Eagles to cover.
All right. Look, I don't have a read on this one. So, for the reasons you just said,
I'm going to
go Captain Planet on you, and we're going to put all our rings in the middle and get our full force going, and we're going to get our weight behind the Eagles because you know who Dylan's going for. I know who you're rooting for. I'm going to pull for him as well. I'll go Eagles minus the 3.5, and I'll ride that wave with you.
Real quick, I'm only rooting for the Eagles in interest for the Falcons.
You don't need to qualify.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, we know. I get it.
And truth be told, I mean this when I say this. I think most NFL fans have that secondary team that they're like, I don't mind if they win. Right, I think most NFL fans have. For me, right now, it's the Detroit Lions. Like when I watch the Lions play, I'm like, I like the brand of football they play. I don't mind if they win. I also don't mind the Eagles. I really kind of like Jalen Hurts, so that is what it is. It all kind of works out. I'll jump back in front, just in fairness' sake. Mandatory college pick: Tennessee against Ohio State. We talked about it a minute ago. I cannot wait to see what Dylan Sampson does. I think a lot of people are picking Tennessee to upset in this game. I am not. I'm going with Ohio State at home. That line right now sits at 7.5. Give me Ohio State minus the points. I think the home atmosphere and environment and the talent that is on that team up there, too much to overcome for Tennessee. I love Tennessee as a team, but I think Ohio State gets it done minus the points this weekend.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't too much for Michigan to overcome when they went there and beat them. This is an SEC school. It's not going to be that much colder, I think, on kickoff in Columbus, and it will be in Knoxville. Tennessee will be just fine because defense travels, baby. Yeah. I'm going to take Tennessee to cover. Boom. I don't know if they'll win, but 7.5 is a huge number.
It's a big line.
It's a big number.
All right, do you want to go ahead and get your first wild card pick if you want to go NFL first?
Yeah, Tennessee at Indy. Tennessee just made a quarterback change. They benched Levis.
They benched him. Okay.
Yeah.
With an N in there. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I thought you meant
everyone
that
else has done that to him.
I thought you meant they disrespected him.
No. The rest of the league has done that to him. They just benched him.
Wow.
You know, you're traveling. Brian Callahan had a great little speech, but it doesn't matter. I am taking the 42.5 is the over-under. I'm taking the under in that game.
Okay. All right. You like the under in that Tennessee game. I'm going to go to Cleveland here. And I think this game's at Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. Cincy is a 9-point favorite from what I'm seeing right now. Cincy a 9-point favorite over the Cleveland Browns. Cincy still kind of a lot to play for, still alive in that picture. They've been, they've been excellent here recently, it seems like. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati minus the 9, minus the 8.5. Actually, I'm seeing an 8.5 on CBS right now, that sports line. So give me Cincy minus the 8.5 against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland just, they don't know what they are at quarterback right now. They're still a good team. Just the quarterback play has been just abysmal. So they got to get that figured out. But give me Cincinnati minus the points. And then, look, I'll go first back to the college side to give you my wild card pick. How about Indiana? I really like Indiana in this game. I think the fans will travel well. I think it's a hungry football team. I don't know how much they can win in the trenches on a consistent basis, but Notre Dame's going to take their chances up front. It's the style of defense they play. I think Indiana is extremely disciplined. I might even go out and take Indiana money line in this game, but give me the plus +7 for today's sake. Indiana plus +7 against Notre Dame. I really like that game.
So I wrote this one out, and I was looking at it, and I couldn't remember what I picked. 52.5. Notre Dame scores points. Indiana likes to score some points as well. Their worst showing, I think, was against Ohio State and Michigan. So that could be kind of a prelim to that, or but I don't care. I'm taking that over, baby.
Yeah.
52.5. Let's go. Over.
Hey, we got to get a break, Bo. And every Friday what we do is the quarterback report with Dave Archer. Now, reminder, Dave will join us later in the show. We're up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. The quarterback report coming up on the other side of the break, it's going to sound a little bit different. All right, you're not going to want to miss this. That'll be brought to you by Margaritaville. Stick with us here, man. You're going to hear the quarterback report with Dave Archer coming up on the other side. Whew. It's the man we all want to hear from. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.